ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Maseches Menachos, Daf Samach Aleph. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says, Veheirim mimenu bekumtsoi, with reference to a korban mincha, it speaks about how you take the kmitza, and the language of the Pasuk is, Veheirim mimenu bekumtsoi. And the Gemara compares two places where it uses the lashon of Veheirim, and one of the places it says, Veheirim mimenu bekumtsoi. So we learn from one to the other, two types of korban minchas, like the Meforshim get into, and we'd say, we take out of there that yocho bekeli, where I might have thought that perhaps the kmitza could have been done by using a keli. And the chiddush is bekum tsoy, the herim bekum tsoy. We learn from one to the other, and we say maharoma ha'omol kalon, the halon bekum tsoy, af haroma ha'omol kan bekum tsoy. So you have to specifically use the fist to take the three fingers full out directly with your hand, and you're not allowed to utilize a keli. And that's the drasha, the herim bekum tsoy. In Yuma Daf Mem Zayin Aleph, there's a very similar Gemara, and with near that the Gemara says bekum tsoy shalo yasa midol koimet. So I can't take a measuring keli and utilize it for the purpose of taking the kmitza out, to use a measuring with a keli. So no bekum tsoy, you have to use your fist. And over there, there's a machloik between Rashi and the Rashbam, quoted by the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva, understanding exactly what the hava mina of the Gemara was. Rashi is mavur in Yuma Mem Zayin that the hava mina was that a person would have been able to fashion a keli, which has the exact measurement of his kmitza, of his three fingers full of his fist, and utilize that keli to separate out flour from the mincha, and that would have been the equivalent of a ma'isa kmitza. That was the hava mina, and the kamash malin is no, that you have to use your hand directly. That's Shitas Rashi. The Rashbam, brought down by the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva over there, tain is that it's impossible that that should have been the hava amina, because since the language of the Pasuk anyhow is vikomatz, vikomatz mishom b'loy kumtsoy, so vikomatz, that verb vikomatz obviously means, says the Rashbam, that you have to use your fist. It clearly cannot be taiched, can't be translated to mean that you can use a keli, so there was no hava amina at all that a person could do the ma'isa kmitza with a keli. Clearly you have to use your fist. What was the hava amina, says the Rashbam, in his opinion, that you could have made a midol koimetz? So them, zok the Rashbam, could by these two rishonim that perhaps a person could have done the ma'isa kmitza in two steps. First, he would have taken a large, taken a keli, which is the exact measurement of his fist, and dipped the keli into the flour of the mincha and got the correct requisite measure of flour in the keli. And the next step would have been that he would take his fist and empty the keli directly with his fist and put the flour into his fist. So the second step, says Rashbam, would surely have been with the hand, no question whatsoever. That would have been the step that would be vikomatz, and no question, even the Havamina Dingmar knew that you had to do an act with your fist. However, the act of separating out the flour into the requisite measure of the koimetz, of the kmitza measure, that you would have done with the keli. That would have been step one. To separate out from the entire flour of the mincha, the kmitza measure, you do that with a keli, and then take from the keli in your hand, that would have been the koimetz. So it would have been a two-step process in the Havamina, and if them's like the Gemara, that it can't be done in these two steps, you have to take directly with your fist into the full measure of flour of the mincha. Rav Michal Feinstein over here in the Shiurim explains what this hava mina would have been to make a two-step process allowed according to the Rashbam. And we'll say the essence of what Rav Feinstein explains over there. Rav Feinstein is mevarer, and he attempts to demonstrate that there are actually two different mahuyos, two different senses of a kmitza. On the one hand, the kmitza is a ma'isa avoida on a korban, in this case the korban mincha, similar to the way that the shchita is the ma'isa avoida of the hadam on the behema. So you do an act of a shchita on a behema, you do a ma'isa kmitza on a mincha. That's one element, one mahus that a kmitza has. Secondly, says Rav Michal Feinstein, a kmitza also is doime to hafrosh as trumas u'maisrois, in the sense that I have, let's say, a large quantity of tevua, it's tevel, I have to separate out a certain amount of truma, a certain amount of maiser, and make a maisa haroma, hafrosha, an act of hafrosha, separating out the truma from the rest of the tevua. Likewise, over here, I have a large amount of a korban mincha, and I have to make a maisa hafrosha, I have to separate out the kmitza from the rest of it. The kmitza, of course, is going to be the chelek hamukter, that it's going to go on the fire of the mizbeach. So therefore, there's two distinct mahuyos of every kmitza. One is the hafrosha, separating out the kmitza from the rest, and secondly, is the ma'isa avoida, an act, a ma'isa which is an avoida, similar to the ma'isa shchita on a behema. It says of the Rav Feinstein, the hava mina was going to be that I could have done these two steps in sequence, sequentially, rather than doing them both together. So therefore, what I would have done would have been first to do the Maisa HaFrosha, the act of separating out, and then it was going to name on that that could have been done with a Keli. I take a Keli of the requisite size, and I do the HaFrosha of the Kmitza flour from the rest of it, from the Shirayim. The Kmitza, of course, is going to be the Chalak going on the fire. Having done the HaFrosha, which could be with a Keli in the half a minute, I would have then had done the second step, which would have been the Maisa Avoida, which would have been the Vikomatz portion, that I would have done second, that would have been done with the fist, even in the Hava Amina of the Gemara. Then at the Gemara Mechadish, that, no, it's impossible to do it in the two-step process. You have to do it all as one. And even the component, which is the hafrosha component of the kmitza, that's separating out the kmitza portion from the shirayim of the mincha, even that has to be done as one with the ma'isa avoida. It has to all be done with the fist, and it cannot have done the first step, the hafrosha, with a keli. So that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Rav Feinstein explains that according to this hezber of the Rashbam, of the two steps in the Rashbam's, in the hezber of the Gemara, hava amina of the Gemara, we would explain that we know that kmitza is one of the avoiders of a karv mincha. A person from mechashev and machsheves pigul, the kohen doing the kmitza, he's thinking that, let's say, the achilu will be done at the wrong time. It's a machsheves pigul, it's mefagel the korban. And zoktav tembra feinstein avada, it's clear that this concept that the kmitza is able to mefagel, that's because of the avoida mahus, the avoida label that the kmitza has. Consequently, in the havaman of the Gemara, when I was thinking I'll first do the hafrosha component, I'll do that with the keli, and then afterwards I'll do the avoida component, I'll do that by taking from the keli and putting into my fist, avada, the second step alone was going to be the maisa avoida. The first step wasn't going to be an avoida, it was going to be independently the hafrosha of the kmitza from the shirayim. Consequently, the only step that would have been the mefagel, which if the kohen had the wrong intent, he can make it pigle, would have been specifically the second step, when I emptied into my hand, not the first step, when I separate with a keli from the kohen from the shirayim. Against that backdrop, we can come back to the Lashon HaGemara here in Masechta Menachos and look at the language here, where the Gemara says, Ma haroma ha'oma l'halon b'kumtzoi, af haroma ha'oma kan b'kumtzoi, so that all haromas of a koimetz have to be done specifically with the person's hand and not with a keili. The Sefer Mekor Boruch, Achoshev Achroin, writes that he believes that this Gemara is a clear raya to Rashi against the Rashbam, and he says he's surprised that the Achroinim who talk about this don't get into this Gemara, Menachos Samach Aleph, which is a raya to Rashi. Now the Mekor Boruch offers no indication as to where exactly in this Gemara he found a raya to Rashi against the Rashbam. And the emes is that the way we just explained the Rashbam, based on the Michal Feinstein's explanation, it would appear that our Gemara actually works out extremely well with the Shittas Rashbam. The language of the Gemara over here, which is more clear in this sense in the one in Yuma, it says Veheirim mimenu bekumtzoi, ma haroma ha'oma lahalan bekumtzoi, af haroma ha'oma kan bekumtzoi. So we're speaking about specifically something called a haroma, and that haroma, I'm saying, is not going to be done with the keili, but it has to be specifically done with the person's own koimetz, with his hand. Be'emes says that according to the way that the Feinstein explains the Rashbam, this fits perfectly. We're speaking of a haroma. Haroma is actually similar to the act of being meirim teruma. It's like being mafrish, truma or ma'isi, is separating out the one from the other, and that's actually the nekuda which is particularly identified by the pasuk. The heirim mimenu, ma haroma ha'omer lahalom bekumtzoi. So, according to the Rashbam's explanation, the way that Rav Michal Feinstein explains it, the two steps are: one is a step, the first step is a hafrosha, and the second step is the ma'isa avoida, which is the actual taking it into the hands. It's that step we knew all along that it has to be done. The avoida has to be done with the koimetz, like I said, the lashon of the pasuk with komatz. So, what step was the dion of the Gemara in Yuma on? The first step, which is the Maisa HaFrosha. Actually, our Gemara looks like it's going on that step. It's zeroing in on the Haroma. Ma Haroma Ha'olam Alalam B'Kumtzoi. That's like an act of being Meirim a Terumo, in this case being Meirim a Kmitza, and separating it from the Shirayim. And the Havamina was going to be, do it in a Keli. And the Kamashmolin is, you have to do it with your hand. So it would appear that it actually fits very well with the Rashbam, contrary to what it says in the Mekor Boruch, which he doesn't explain himself, that he found that Pesarai in this Gemara against the Rashbam, and Tadafka to go with Rashi, that we knew all along, in other words, the way he understands, the way Rashi understands, there was all one step, and that one step was going to be done, one ma'isa kmitza, we've done all with the keli in the Havamina, and kamash malon, that no, it's all done with the yad.
The Mishnah speaks of Eilu Tu'unois, Tenufa Ve'en Tu'unois, Hagosha, that the following Korbonos need to have the waving, the requisite Tenufa, that are done in specific Korbonos, but they don't require Hagosha, which is the act of bringing the Korban near to the corner of the Mizbeach, and certain Korbonos need one and not the other. The Mishnah goes into the different scenarios. One of them that's given over here is V'habikurim, Kediv Rebelezah Ben Yankif. So Rebelezah Ben Yankif has a shita that's elaborated on in the Gemara, like we'll see, that he holds that there is an act of Tenufa, of waving, that's done in the Bikurim, and he still holds that there's no Hagosha, that's done of the Bikurim, no drawing it near to the corner of the Mizbeach. So we have the Tenufa, not Hagosha, and the example of that would be Bikurim. The Kerenoid over here has the Kasha, and he says it's Sorochi and Ktsas, because he tainus, and actually this that the Commissioner assumes that there was no Hagosha on a Bikurim, says, well, why are we assuming that? We all know, Zuck, that you need to do Hanocha on the Bikurim, and the Pasuk speaks of that, and the Hanocha of Bikurim, Chazal tell us, was Bekeren Ma'arovis Droimis, it was on the west, the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, which is exactly actually the corner that the Hagosha was always done on. It had a Yesoid under it. And he brings the Yerushalmi, Masechta Bikurim actually says, and the Lashon Yerushalmi, by the way, if you look it up, like we'll see a little bit, the Yerushalmi actually says that you do a Hagosha. That's Mamash the Lashon, that the Yerushalmi says over there that you take the Bikurim, you place it down on the ground on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. The Yerushalmi happens to use the word Hagosha, like we'll talk about, that you place it close, you put it on the southwest corner, and the Kerenari says that's Lahalo. The Rambam goes like that, the Hanocha is in that corner. And Vibal Zokta, that every single time we have a korban that has a Hagosha on it, the Hagosha is always done by bringing it to that corner of the Mizbeach and drawing it near to the Mizbeach at the southwest corner, the Kamar Rav's Dreimis. So a Hanocha, which is done at the Bikurim, incorporates the Hagosha that's done in other korbanos. If anything, that the Kerenayir is like, it sounds to me like the Hanocha that's done, the placing of the Bikurim at that corner, it incorporates the Hagosha, and it's a Hagosha plus, because normally I just take the korban and bring it to that corner. But here I'm taking the car and bringing it to the corner and placing it on the ground. So it incorporates Hagosha plus even more, placing Hanoch on the ground. So really, Zok, there's no reason and no sense in which the Bikurim doesn't have Hagosha. It actually does have Hagosha. You bring it to the corner and you put it on the ground. Why does the mission use such a sprach? Why does it say over here that Bikurim does not need a Hagosha? This is the Kasha of the Kerenoyer. Now, but Pashtus, when I first saw this Kerenoyer, there is really Bemis a very, very simple teres that would appear to be a simple answer to his question, and that is that Hagosha doesn't just involve drawing the mincha close to the corner of the Mizbeach, but you actually have to touch it inside the keli to the corner of the Mizbeach. The Achronim bring this down from Rashi in Sota Daf Yudalad. Sota Daf Yudalad, the Gemara itself is Maduik like that, and Rashi speaks it out. The Gemara speaks of the Hagosha, and there's a Havman over there that you have to do the Hagosha of the mincha, not in the keli, so that you can't even have the keli separate between the mincha and the Mizbeach itself, and that the Gemara learns out that it's not like that. You do a Hagosha with the mincha inside the keli by touching the keli to the corner of the Mizbeach. And Rashi actually speaks it out over there, that Rashi says that in the Havamah of the Gemara, I would have said that the Mincha Gufa, says Rashi, V'loi HaKeli, the Mincha itself, not the Keli, Shehibo, Elo, says Rashi, Sheyehei Negei HaSoilas LaHamizbeach. In other words, that I would have said that the Soilas, the flower of the Mincha itself, has to touch the Mizbeach. So Rashi Mavur, you have to touch the Mizbeach. The Havamah of the Gemara in Soita, I would have said that the flower touches, Maskonda is that the Keli touches. So Vibalt, that is so, it's really easy to answer the Kerenir's Kashi. You could just say very simple that Pashtus by a carbon, by a Bikurim, where would anybody get any source altogether to think that there's a Hagosh on Bikurim in the technical sense that I'm going to take the Bikurim and touch them to Korin's Beach? There's no mocker for that at all. Certainly not in any Pusik. All I'm just doing is taking Bikurim, placing it down in that corner. It doesn't have to touch, and so it's not a Hamais Hagosha. And then the contrary to the Kerenir, and it actually fits very well, the Lashon HaMishnah over here that says that there's no Hagosha done on the Bikurim. In fact, I afterwards saw that the new print of the Kerenir, the editor, the Magia, and the new print actually writes this on his own, that's a teretz of the Kerenir. It's Kasha, a straightforward teretz, that Hagosha requires not just bringing it to that corner, but actually touching the corner, and Bikurim does not have that quality. Now, the Maisa I saw that Abraham Kanievsky names on not like this. And actually, in a couple of places, Abraham Kanievsky names on not like this, that he names on that Bikurim require an actual touching, a very big chiddush, which is hard to know where it's going to come from exactly, that Bikurim, you don't just place it on the corner of the on the floor, near the corner of the Mizbeach, but you actually touch the corner of the Mizbeach in the context of placing it. And Chaim Kanievsky, one of the places he comes from is the Lashon Yerushalmi in Bikurim that mentioned before, which actually alluded to by the Kerenoyer, that the Yerushalmi actually says over there that when the person takes the Bikurim to do the Hanocha, the language of the Yerushalmi is in Masechta Bikurim, HaKeitzad Magishoy Al Keren Droimis Marovis Umanicha B'Droimis Al Keren. So it's actually Mavur over there that you Magishoy Al Keren Droimis Marovis, and you place it by the south part of the corner. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky tainus that aside from the fact that the Yerushalmi uses an actual lashon of magishoy, he also brings a big bekiyus. He brings Tosis and Masechta Bava Basra and other Rishonim as well. That a number of Rishonim that discussed this din of hanocha at the corner of the Be'ach and a whole slew of Rishonim referred to it specifically as a hagosha. The Imamish called it a hagosha. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky names on that there is an actual din of hagosha of touching corner to the corner of the Be'ach. Now, of course, this mahalach it definitely explains why the Yerushalmi and a number of Rishonim use the word hagosha. What it doesn't do is explain where this comes from, because it's actually very difficult to know, given the fact that there's certainly no pasuk that indicates any clear sense of a hagosha, an actual touching of the keren. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky certainly names that on. In the time of the Kroah on Chumash, in the beginning of Parashas Kisavo, it talks about Bikurim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes this Pshitas, that that's before in the Yerushalmi, and in Tosis, Baba Basra, etc. And he says that as far as our Mishnah, which he asked the question on his own, and our Mishnah, L'chayrit Mavur, that there's no hagosha on a Bikurim, and Lamaisa, it's unbelievable, because the Yerushalmi says, Beferish Hakerit, that there is a hagosha on Bikurim, and the Rishonim say the same thing, Tosis and others. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky gets around the whole thing by saying that there's a fundamental difference between a hagosha as being done by the Kohen, which, just to add to that, that could be a Maisa Avoid, or the Kohen does it, it's done by the Kohen. Mashain came by the case of Bikurim, the hagosha is actually not at all done by the Kohen, it's done by the Bailam. The Bailam takes the Bikurim and he places at the corner of his Be'ach. So, Zot Reb Chaim Kanievsky, our mission is very simple. Elu Tumis Kmitsa, Vein Tumis Hagosha, we're talking about the act of Maisa Avoidus Hagosha done by the Kohen, and that is Taka, it applies to Karban Minchas, etc., certain Minchas, but doesn't apply to Bikurim at all. There's no Hagosha Al Yedeh HaKohen, but the Bailam does it, and the Bailam does, in fact, has to touch the corner of the Be'ach, and that's how Reb Chaim Kanievsky makes everything shtim. Then I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his well-known Sefer Derech Emuna, in Hilchos Bikurim, is actually a bit Meirich on this, more than his Meirich on the Sefer Time of the Kroah, and he goes consistent with his view, and he quotes the Yerushalmi and Bikurim, he quotes Tosis and a number of Rishonim, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky says very clearly in the Derech Emuna there in Hilchos Bikurim that the act of Hagosha of a Bikurim is an act of actually touching the Bikurim to the corner of the Be'ach. Now, granted, one of the Maamar Kamis he brings down is Tosis Bava Basra Pe'alef, which Tosis says clearly over the Loshon of Hagosha, you do a Hagosha on the Bikurim, and it's interesting that the Rashash over there on that Tosis says that Tosis Lav Dafka. The Rashash says that it doesn't come from anywhere, this notion that you should actually have to touch the Bikurim, the corner of the Be'ach, to actually Mamish touch it. There's no place for such a thing to come from, no din, no pasik. And the Rashash says that Tosis Lav Dafka, it doesn't really mean a real Hagosha, it just means you place it near the corner and you put it down on the ground, and it's sort of like a Hagosha. The Tosis refers to it as a Hagosha, but not as a real Hagosha there. So the Rashash does say against the Reb Chaim Kanievsky. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shita works out well in terms of the Makoiros, in terms of the Shroshi Hadvorim and the Psukim and the Dina in the Torah, where it really does not at all clear where you're going to get it in to touch the corner of the Be'ach. Mitzad Hasheni, Reb Chaim Kanievsky goes not like that, and he fits with the Pashtus of the Yerushalmi and Tosis and others, that they say a Lashon of Hagosha, and he insists that it does have to touch the corner of the Be'ach. First day, so according to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Lashita Soy, it works well that he does have the Shtel on this Mishnah, and he recognizes the Keren Yerush Shtel, the Takashver, in other words, that how does the Mishnah say there's no Hagosha? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky is Mechadosh al Pidarkoi, that Hagosha means an act of avoidus Hagosha with a Koi, and that's what our Mishnah is referring to, and Bikurim surely does not have that. Reb Michal Feinstein over here offers a different teretz to the Keren Yerush Kasha. Reb Michal Feinstein brings down a Rashi, a Yosoidius Digarashi in Soita Daf Yotes. This Rashi says an important thing. It's hard to fully understand exactly what Rashi means over there. The Rashi says over there in Soita Yotes, over there the Gemara is determining exactly which steps of the Korban Mincha need to have Dafka a Koyhein, and the Gemara speaks over there, and Rashi speaks over there, that when they take the Korban Mincha Soita, when the Soita brings a Mincha, so the first step that's done is that the Baal, the husband, he takes hold of the Korban Mincha, and Rashi speaks out of there, and so to your test, Zok Rashi, that first beginning of it is done by the Baal, the Ha'amrino, Zok Rashi, because we say, Ein mitzvah kohuna b'menachos, ela mikmitza v'elach. So the mitzvah kohuna by a kohen is only from the kmitza and on, the kmitza v'elach. Zok Rashi, v'hagosho nami tchilas kmitza hi, the Ein Zor Korol Gamizbech, etc., etc. So Rashi over there is actually Mavur over there, that Be'emes really be a Soida, only from Kmitza and on, I need to have the Avodas HaMincha done by the Kohen. The Kmitza, the Matan Kmitza, the Keli, Halacha, etc., that's all done by the Kohen. But anything earlier than Kmitza could be done by a non-Kohen. Zokt Rashi, if that's the case, then let Hagosha, which is before the Kmitza, Hagosha is the entire Mincha, you take it and you touch it to the corner of the Be'ach, so let the Hagosha be done by a Zohar, and that's not the din. So Rashi says, Hagosha nami tchilas kmitzahi. Rashi says a yesod that the Hagosha is, so to speak, the beginning of the kmitzah. And Rashi says, because the Zohar can't draw close to the Mizbeach, and a Mela, this is an act of touching to the Mizbeach, so that's the beginning of a kmitzah, and the Kohen does it. Exactly what Rashi means with these words, Hagosha, the beginning of a kmitzah, needs a bit of a beer. But Kopon and Remichel Feinstein says that you see clearly, Zokter, that we speak of the Avodas Hagosha, we're speaking of something which is a prelude to the next ongoing sequence of steps. Hagosha is not a standalone. I don't stop take the keli and just touch the corner of the Be'ach, and that in and of itself is not going to be meaningful as a Maisa Avodas Hagosha. Hagosha is the prelude. You do the Hagosha to the whole thing, and then that's a preliminary to separating out the Kmitza. Hagosha is Tchilas Kmitza. It may look of them, the Michel Feinstein. So over here, now we're talking about Hagosha and Bikurim, which obviously Bikurim doesn't have any of these Avodas or Kmitza. There's no Kmitza Bekeli, etc. You don't have any of those things. So therefore, just almost like a standalone act of a Hagosha, that's something which is not going to be labeled an Avodas Hagosha. And for the purpose of our Mishnah, it's correct to say, like the Mishnah says, that Bikurim needs a Tznufa, but does not need a Avodas Hagosha. Then it says that this boils down to the same kind of Yesod as Reb Chaim Kanievsky we spoke of. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky puts it more simply. He says that by Kobonos Mincha, you have a Hagosha, it's an Avodas Hagosha, needs a Kohen. Over here, Zok, there, it's not an Avodas Hagosha, and doesn't need a Kohen. It's done by the Bailam. And that really is what Reb Michel Feinstein's Teres boils down to as well. He's bringing down a Rashi that speaks of which steps of the Mincha need a Kohen, and Rashi's saying that the Hagosha needs a Kohen, it's a prelude to the Kmitza, etc. Rashi Mimavar over there, why we're saying that the Hagosha of a Mincha is an Avodah needing a Kohen. So that's what it boils down to, really. Our mission is clearly by Bikurim not discussing any Avodah's Hagosha. There's no such step of Avodah called a Hagosha by Bikurim, and obviously it doesn't need a Kohen, and it's not a Maisa Avodah, like Reb Chaim Kanievsky says. The Mishnah goes on and says that the Emure Shalme Yochid and Chozav Shoik Shalohem, the Emurim of the Shalme Yochid, a Shlomim brought by a Yochid and Chozav Shoik, that these as well, they need to have a Tznufa, you have to wave them in the proper manner, there's a Tznufa on Shlomim, but there is no Hagosha. So that's another example of something with a Tnufa b'no hagosha, a shalme yochid. The Brisker Rav over here asks a question in the Shiurim. He asks that l'chayr the Mishnah is shver because there's no reason to specify shalme yochid. What's the din of shalme tzibur? Zivchei shalme tzibur, that's the kvosim that are brought on Shavuos together with the shtei alechem, they have a din of shalme tzibur. Did the shalme tzibur have a din of tnufa and no hagosha as well? The answer is absolutely. That is the din. The Mishnah itself says that it's later on at the end of the Mishnah. It actually mentions zivchei shalmei tzibur. They need tnufa chayim, mischutim, etc., and they don't have any hagosha. So if that's the case, Fekta Briskerov, the Mishnah itself demands, it mentions at the end of the Mishnah that zivchei shalmei tzibur have tnufa, they have no hagosha. So why in the world does the Mishnah at the beginning of the Mishnah seem to almost go out of its way to be soiser that? Because for some reason, the beginning it says imuri shalmei yochid v'chaza v'shoik shalohen, etc. What's with the shalmei yochid, Zokta Lachayra? The Shalmei Tzibur have exactly the same din. So the Brisker Rav makes reference over here in order to address this question, what he understands to be a big machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam, and we'll get into it over here, come back to Blineda probably at tomorrow's daf as well, a big yesoid that the Brisker Rav gets into. The Brisker Rav says like this, we know that the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, that's the Shtei Kevosim that are brought in Shavuos, these have to have two tenufas. One of them, Chayim, which is a chiddush like a tenufa, it's done while it's alive, and the other is Shchutim. After it's shecht, you do a second tenufa. Now Rashi over here speaks out of the Mishnah. How do you know this second tenufa? So Rashi says that shalmei tzibur boi tenufa achashchita. Rashi says the gamrinon mishalmei yochid. So it's, in other words, Rashi is mavur an important thing that really the fact that the shalmei tzibur that's brought on Shavuos needs to have a tenufa after it's geshochten. That's the old algamin din that I found by shalmei yochid, which I'm simply applying over here. That you always have to have tenufa by a shalmei yochid by a shlomim, and that's obviously after it's shechted, and you lift up the chos v'shoik, the emurim, so that's by a shalmei yochid, and you do exactly the same thing by a shalmei tzibur, that's the tenufa shchutim, which is the same as the shalmei yochid. The tenufa mechaim is a special chiddush tegedin, which is based on the pasuk, a special pasuk by the kivsei atzeres, but the tenufa shchutim is the algamein good old din that we know of from the shalmei yochid, that's Rashi Shita. However, Zokta Bitzkirov, the Rambam is clearly medik, not like that in the Yad, in Hilchas Midim Vosofim, and the
Brit Grov. No, it's really, if you go through the Yad over there, in Hilchos Tnu the Musafim, it's really clear from the whole Lashon, the whole Hemshech HaLashon in the Rambam and the Yad, in Perik Ches, Tnu the Musafim, that the Din Tenufa of the Kivsei Atzeres, and actually both Tenufas, both the one that while it's still alive as well, the one that's Shechted, is really not, does not belong to the familiar Din of Tenufa of Korban Shlomim. And really, the Brit Grov points out that Geveintlich, the Seder Avoidas and all the different steps that you do on Kabbonis are all found in Hilchos Ma'aseh Kabbonis. That's where you find them, the different avoiders on each carbon. Hilchos Ma'aseh Kabbonis, the Rambam brings them down. Actually, the Tnufa of the Kivsei Atzeres is not mentioned at all, Hilchos Ma'aseh Kabbonis. And both Tnufas of the Kivsei Atzeres, Mechayim and Lachashchita, are actually mentioned in Hilchos Tnu the Musafim, and really it's in conjunction over there with the Seder Hayoim of Shuas. In other words, the Rambam doesn't really seem to be focusing specifically on Kivsei Atzeres over there. In fact, just to mention the opening words of the Rambam over there, Shtei Halechem, Ein Boy and Elam and Ore, Tzumen HaChodosh, the Rambam discusses different halachas of Shtei Halechem, the Dafke have to come from Eretz Yisrael, they have to come from Chodosh, etc., etc. And in the Hemshech HaDvorim, he talks about all kinds of halachas about Shtei Halechem, and then he mentions the bring together with them, and Kivsei Atzeres together with them, and he mentions the different tnufas you have, Kivsei Atzeres, the one that's Mechayim, the one that's Meach HaShchita. So it really seems to be clear that Rambam sort of went out of his way to not bring down this din of tnufa Chayim or tnufa Shchutim, either of them, in the Ma'aseh Kabbonis, halachas of the Seder, Avodas HaKorban. Rather, he brings it down elsewhere in Hilchos Tnu the Musafim, where he's talking about the Seder Hayoim of Atzeres, and he's discussing the Shtei Halechem and Mitn Derin, and he gets into a whole discussion about how you do the special Sidorim on the Kivsei Atzeres. If Zacht of them, the Brit Grov, that the Rambam actually argues on Rashi and the Yesoid is taken a Kuda, and what is the Yesoid, the fundamental idea that underlies the Tnufa Shchutim on the Kivsei Atzeres? According to Rashi, as we said, the Tnufa Shchutim of the Kivsei Atzeres is the Algemeine old din of all carbon shlomims of Shalmei Yochid, in this case Shalmei Tzibur, you learn one to the other, and you always have to have Tnufa as a din in the carbon. Masha'en can, according to Rambam, be'etzem alf the carbon, the dine say that avoidus a carbon, I would not have had any Tnufas on the Shalmei Atzeres, not the Mechayim and not the Achashchita. But it's a din in the Yoim, and the Seder avoidus ha-Yoim, that the Yoim fodder, just like the Yoim has to have Shtei Alechem, and like Rambam has a whole Hemshech, different steps in the bringing of the Shtei Alechem, so in the Hilchos ha-Yoim, there is a din that the carbon, that Yoim has to have two Tnufas on him, all to leave the specialness of the avoidus ha-Yoim of Shavuos. Meila zokt of them, the Brit Grov. If you look like the Rambam, you can understand much better why in this Mishnah, first at the beginning, the Mishnah doesn't even mention Shalmei Tzibur at all. In fact, it seems to go out of its way. There's a Murei Shalmei Yochid, the Chazav HaShoik Shalahem. Because, zokt the Brit Grov, we're talking at the beginning of the Mishnah, those dinim that are a din in the Seder Avodas HaKorban. Which Korbonois, Alt Korban, and Hilchois HaKorban, further, that they require a Tnufa, they don't require Hagosha, so we speak of Shlomim, we speak about the Loik Shema Shematzay, whatever it is, different things that they intrinsically, the carbon itself requires a tnufa. But Zok there, the Mishnah is leaving out the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur HaShuas, and not mentioning until the very end when it gets into comparing different practices, different dinim one against the other, because Be'etzem, by the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, the carbon in of itself doesn't demand, it doesn't fodder that it should have any tnufas. It's the din hayoim that this carbon in the context of being brought on this yoim, there's a special din, how you're supposed to do it on this and bring it on this yoim, so you have that you have the various tnufas. But since it's not a din that's intrinsic to the carbon, so therefore it's not mentioned Zokter at the beginning of the Mishnah. Biskarov actually elaborates a lot on this in the Biskarov and Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aseh Kabbonis in Perek Tes, and I'll bring out here a very central nakuda here that the Brit Grov stresses all along these lines of his understanding of what the Shittas HaRambam is, an important thing which actually fits very well and is good to get clear in terms of understanding the Brit Grov's Derech and the Rambam. The Brit Grov says like this, that we know, and the Mishnah speaks at a Befeirish over here actually, that whenever I have a Shalmei Yochid and I do a Tnufa on it, the Tnufa is not just done at the Chaz of a Shaykh. The Tnufa is actually done at the Chaz of a Shaykh plus the Emurim plus the various fasts that are going to go on as Berach, and the Mishnah says it. Emurim, Shalmei Yochid, the Chaz of a Shaykh Shalahem. What's the din, Zot the Brit Grov, and I get to the tnufa of the Chaz of a Shaykh that's being done on the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Do I also have the Emurim together with that Chaz of a Shaykh on the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur? So it brings in the Ravid actually in his Peyush and Teres Koinen. The Ravid actually speaks out that the Chotch Chazal only mentioned the Chaz of a Shaykh by the Shalmei Tzibur, but Avad is together with that, together with the Emurim, like I find always by Tnufas Hashlomim, that the Chaz of a Shaykh are accompanied by the Emurim in doing the Tnufa. That's the Ravid says. However, the Brit Grov says, and in Rambam it's actually very stark meduyik, that by the regular Tnufas of the Shalmei Yochid, the Rambam makes it clear that you do the Emurim with the Chaz of a Shaykh, and on the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, the Rambam seems to be quite meduyik that it's done dafka at the Chaz of a Shaykh. It's not done with the Emurim. The Emurim does not accompany accompany them. What's the Hezbar Advorim? We have to assume that the Rambam disagreed with the Rav on Teres Kain, and where would the Rambam get this idea from? What's this basis of that? That this is going to be a different sort of Tunus Chaz of a Shoik, which is not going to have the Emurim waves with it. It's Zoktav Tim, the Brisker Rav, that actually it works very, very well, according along the lines that we're saying. Why? Because this concept that I do a Tunufa on the Emurim with the Chaz of a Shoik, the Lashon of Pasik is based on a Pasik, that the Pasik says, as Hachelev al Hechoze Yevienu. As Hachelev al Hechoze Yevienu. So when I'm bringing the Chaz for the purpose of doing the Tunufa, I'm going to have the Chelev, the Emurim, the fats, together with the Chaz. As Hachelev al Hechoze Yevienu. Zoktav Tem de Briskerov, a Sharfavort. He says, I have to ask myself, what is the Shurish, what is the basis of the Din Tunufa that I'm doing over here? By Zokta, the regular Kobanis of Shalme Yochad that I brought a whole year. Over there, there's a Din of the Chefza of the Chaz and the Chefza of the Shaykh, that those entities within the Korban have a Din that they fodder a Tunufa, they demand a Tunufa. Where those entities, the Chaz and the Shaykh, demand a Tunufa, they have a Din in them to have a Tunufa done on them. So the Pasuk says, you know, don't just do it alone. Do the Chel of Allah Chaz, if you know. We have a Tunufa as a Chaz, there's a Din to be made of the Chaz, to lift up the Chaz and wave it, you have to do the Chel of with it. It's a Chel of Allah Chaz. Zokta Bishkiro, but that's all by regular Kabbalah. Masha Enkin Zok there, and the Zuchay Shamit Sirit over there, there's, the Torah never said that there's a Din that the Chaz fodder, that the Chaz demands a Tunufa, the Shaykh demands a Tunufa. Over there, Zok, there's a Din in the Yoim that in bringing this korban, the Zivchei Shalmit Sibir, in this Yoim of Shuas, I have to have a Tnufa for korban, and grad that happens to be that the way to do a Tnufa on a korban is to utilize the Chaz of a Shoik, and the Chaz of a Shoik are the Hecha Timtzi, you wave them, and that's called doing a Tnufa on the korban. It's not a Din in the specific entity of the Chaz and the specific Chefs of the Shoik that they demand the Tnufa, rather, you have to do a Tnufa on the korban, and the Hecha Timtzi, the way to get a Tnufa for korban is to do a Tnufa on the Chaz of a Shoik, because those are, that's the authorized manner that the Torah identifies, that which I do a tnufa the carbon is with chaz of a shaik. Zot the vibalt that on shvuas the zivchei shamei tzibra shvuas it isn't a din in the chazeh that it demands a tnufa, so it doesn't kick in the din of a chel of al chazi v'yenu, and therefore that's why the Rambam is saying in his shita that the zivchei shamei tzibra when you do a tnufa on them is done without any chel, without any murim, it's just the chaz of a shaik alone. Because where the chazeh demands a tnufa, the Torah tells you how you fulfill the tnufa the chazeh. The tnufa the chazeh is done a chel of al chazeh together with the emurim. Where the chazeh isn't what demands the tmura, the tnufa, it just happens to be that you have to do a tnufa on the korban, and this is the manner by which you do it, so there is no din. The din chel of the chazeh doesn't kick in, and there's no din that you have to do a tnufa on the emurim together with the chazeh v'shoik. The Gemara says that where in the Azora do I do the Tnufa? So the Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, and the Gemara says this means Lifnei Hashem b'mizrach. And the Gemara explains, it's not Dafke b'mayrev, Lifnei Hashem sometimes is taken to mean the Mayrev of the Azora, but that's not the case over here. You do in the Mizrach of the Azora, and that is a fulfillment of the concept of doing it in front of Hashem. Lifnei Hashem b'mizrach. The Rashi says on that, that when it says that Lifnei Hashem b'mizrach, Rashi says, Koloimar afilu b'mizrach shemizbeach, Yochel ohonif, so Rashi v'chol shkem b'mayrovoi, which is Korav Yoyis Elahechel. In other words, Rashi is explaining that there's no special din that I dafke have to do the Tnufa in the Mizrach. The Mizrach, of course, as you know, is further away from the Hechel. When a person enters the Shaar Niknari, enters the Azora, the first thing immediately, then he finds himself in the Mizrach. Then he walks forward, he's walking more and more toward the west till he gets to the base of Mikdash. So the Mizrach is also a king of Lifnei Hashem, but the Gemara says so, Dr. Rashi, Lifnei Hashem b'Mizrach, it means even Mizrach, and Kol Shkein Kal V'Chomer, if it would be further toward the Meirav and closer to the base of Migdash, and that would certainly be a fulfillment. It's a kosher mokum for the Tanufa. Biskarov Tain is over here in the stencil that although Rashi says that it's not mashma that way in the Rambam in the Yad indicates that the Rambam says, Yemenif b'mizrach, b'mokum kol ha-tanufis, and it seems to be that it doesn't say anything about a filu. The Rambam says, Makam makoimis, it's actually mashma, the Biskarov zokter, that Tanufa is done dafka b'mayrav, dafka b'mizrach. Dafka in the east, for some reason, that's called a mokum ha-tanufis in the language of the Rambam. And for some reason, you're not going to do the tnufa in the Meirav. You're specifically going to do it in the Mizrach. So he says, Sorachin, why would that be? I mean, you know, of course, I mean, if Mizrach is Lifnei Hashem and Mizrach is further away than the Hechel, so Kavachoymer, that I go closer to the Hechel, that's certainly more Lifnei Hashem, and Meirav is better. It's just as good. So why would the Rambam hold that I dafka doing the tnufa in the Mizrach and not in the Meirav? What's the Hezbollah in that? Of them, like the Brisker Rav, that if you look in the Raivad on Teres Koyanim, which is the parallel drashas to here, the Raavad actually indicates in a couple of times that there's a specific reason to do the tnufa in the Mizrach, and the reason is the Raavad used a couple of lashinas, but basically he says a lashin that it's actually konais, so you actually can't go in any further because it's sagim in Mizrach. What the Raavad is saying, and the Brisker Rav elaborates on this Raavad, the idea is like this, is that if you're in the Mizrach of the Azor, that's the Ezes Yisrael, where it's mutter for Yisrael to enter. Further on, you go further down toward the Ma'ariv, and you get to Ezes Klein, where it's actually Osir Geveintlich for Yisrael to enter, although the din is the Yisrael does enter the Ma'ariv of the Azor Letzoyrech, if he has to do a smich on a korban, in a certain case it's necessary, so the Yisrael would enter the Ma'ariv, but Geveintlich, the normal halacha would be that the Yisrael is only mutter in the Ezes Yisrael, and he's not mutter in the Ezes Klein, and this is actually discussed in the Mishnah Masechta Kalim, the Ezer Kedushois, the ascending order of the Kedushois in the Mokal and Mikdash, and it says, Ezes Klein and Kedesh, Esimena, Shein Yisrael, Nechnosen Lashom, Elo B'Shas Tarcheim, Lesmicha, Shchita, Tnufa, that's actually the language over there in the Mishnah in Masechta Kalim. The Mela of Demzok the Raavad over there, that V'balt, that the tnufa is kosher b'mizrach, comes out that there's no reason, there's no tzorech for the Yisrael to go further into the Ma'ariv of Azora, which is a place that Geveintlich is not allowed to go. This is a dinder abonon, the Kedusha of the Ezes Kayanim is more kodesh than the Kedusha in the Ezes Yisrael, and Geveintlich Yisrael is not allowed to enter there. So the Meila, if that's the case, that's why we're identifying specifically that the Makom of tnufa, in the normative manner, unless it's a special tzorech, the Makom of tnufa is specifically in the Ma'ariv, in the Mizrach. And the reason is, because that the Raavad says, because there's no reason for him to have to go any further. And Michal Feinstein points out that there's a very similar diuk in the language of Rabbeinu Gershom right over here on the side of the Gemara, because the Rabbeinu Gershom actually speaks out as Nuviz B'Mizrach, he says, Mokom Shabaylam Hashem Lovel Ahonif, which is B'Mizrach. In other words, he also identifies, specifically he stresses, that this is a place where Yisrael is allowed to enter, and if we had a need, we would allow the Yisrael to actually go further, because that's what we said before for the Mishnah Mitzvah Kalim. But V'Balt that Geveintlich, in a normative manner, there is no need, Yisrael could just be made for the Mizrach. Therefore, the chiyuv is that he has to dafka be main, if specifically in the Mizrach, and that's what these Rishonim, the Rambam and others, are going against the Rashi. In the Hemshach HaSugya, the Gemara brings out that the tznufa of the Osham Metzaira together with the Loig Shemen of the Metzaira is that then you have to remain with both, and the halacha is the more learns from the Pasuk, you're supposed to remain with them together. The tznufa is done with the two of them being held together. What if I would do Zela Asma Vizela Asma? The Gemara comes out that you also yoitza with that, but Be'etzem the din, the real primary din is to do the two of them together. The Gemara says on that that I might have thought, Zot the Gemara, Yochel Yonif V'Yachze V'Yonif. I might have thought maybe you should do a tznufa and a second tznufa. Yonif V'Yachze V'Yonif. Rashi says, what is this? Havamina yonif v'yachze v'yonif. So Rashi, I would think that you do stein ke'echod, the osham with the loy, stein ke'echod, and then afterwards, I'll be yachze v'yonif, kol echa v'yach li'atzmoi. So I would have might have thought, because we have, the truth is we have two pesukim, one pasuk for each of these. Pasuk says, v'heinif oysom, the Loshon Rabim, which is mashma, the two together, the Osham Metzorah with the Loik Shemen. The Pasuk says Loshon of Yehikriv, Oysoi Vehenif, which is mashma, Loshon Yochid, individually. So, Be'etzem, what we said was that what? That you're supposed to do the mitzvah, you do the two together, but if you do each one individually, also Yoitza. I may have a minute to fulfill both, you know, so Rashi says you do the two of them together first, and then afterwards, separately, do each of them singly. Rabbeinu Gershom Gratis says, Fakert, I had a half a minute to do each of them singly first, and then afterwards do the two of them together. So that was the half a minute. The Gemara says, and that is not correct because it says tnufa v'loy tnufais. You only do one tnufa, not double, and mainly you just do the tnufa with the two of them together. So Sassemis over here raises a question about the pshat in this Gemara. So Sassemis asks, when it says over here that although I'm supposed to do the mitzvahs, the two tnufas together, the osham with the loig shemen, if I do them separately, I'm yoytze. What does it mean I'm yoytze, Zokta Sassemis? What happens? I did the two of them separately. It was, I should have done it together. I didn't. I did the two of them, each one separately, osham separately, loig separately, but they're still both sitting over here. Should I now, after the fact, go ahead and do another tnufa with the two of them together now, choch, after the fact, because Vipa, they didn't do the tnufa in the optimal manner, the mitzvah, which is supposed to do the two together. Maybe I'll do it now. A second one, do it in the optimal manner, the mitzvah. That's one way to learn, Zokter, and Be'etzem, Zokta Sassemis, that would make sense. Well, maybe you could say no. V'balt, that he already did the tnufa on this and the tnufa on that, kumtachoyis, that the din tnufa on each of them is already fulfilled, because the pasuk, we have a special drasha of oisoi, that you could do it separately. Kumtachoyis, that once this tnufa and that tnufa are already individually fulfilled, there's no din tnufa left, and you're not going to gain anything at all, Zokter, if you're going to go try to repeat it. You're saying yoitza, and that's all. And according to that side, there'll be no mamish, no Indian to repeat it, if you already did each of them separately. So Sassemis is actually unsure of this. He blabs without a certainty on this point. However, Sassemis says that there is a strong mokum to argue that if the availability is there and they're still both sitting over there, that maybe you could argue, Zokter, that maybe you should go ahead and repeat it and do the two tenufos separately, the two separately, even though you've done already each of them individually. In the notes of the Shumer for Beryl Zuchnav Rocher, Beryl Soloveitchik over here, he brings his sasemes, and he tines that there may be a diuk against his sasemes in a very dakistic and nuanced language of the Goin in his Perish on Teres Kayhanim. The Goin in the Perish on Teres Kayhanim is a very short, it's actually the girsa of the Goin, the Hagois, and the Perish is printed on the side of the standard Teres Koinim with the Rash and the Ravid, and this is mamish like a one-word Goin. The Teres Koinim has a parallel system of Zroshes to our Gemara, and it goes through the Yochel Yonif, Yachsev Yonif, etc., etc., and the Goin says over there very, very cryptically that Yochel Yachsev Yonif, and the Goin adds one word, Perish Zok the Goin Lechatchila. That's what he says. Yochel Yachsev Yonif, Yonif Lechatchila. And there, the Rebel Tain is that on the face of it, this Goin doesn't make any sense. What in the world does it mean Lechatchila? So that if you're trying to tell me that the Havamina was that the right thing to do, the word Lechatchila means the right thing to do. The right thing to do is that you should do the two tenufas individually and plus the tenufas together as well. You know, like we said that the Rashi and Gershom over here go through like that, the individually and together. Well, you don't no need for the going to add the word Lechatchila on that. Perish Lechatchila. I mean, obviously, if the Teres Kainim has a Havamina to do it, it means you should do it. There's no need every single time we have a Havamina that you have to do something for the going to add the word Lechatchila. So, as long as if the going is trying to say it's only Lechatchila and B'dievet it's not Ma'akev, that not, the going is not going to bring that at either, Zokter, because the entire din of tenufa on the Asher Metzoyer and the Loik Shemin is not Ma'akev anyway. The whole din of tufa is not ma'akev. There's no need to get into a fancy havamin over here, yochel yonif v'yachsev yonif, and say that that's not le'ikuva, it's only lechatchila, since the entire din of tufa, beginning to end, is only a lechatchila, and it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, it's not ma'akev. So what in the world is it going to bring out by saying that yochel yachsev yonif lechatchila? So here, this the Rebbe says a sharfa for it. It could be, Zokteh, what the going meant was that he understood a special pshat, which really not mavur over here in the Rashi that we mentioned, that the going understood that there's a hemshach in this as follows. First, we spoke out, like the Gemara speaks out, that although the right thing to do is to do the two tenufas together as one big maisa tenufa on the osham and the loik shemi, you're supposed to do it together. If you do it separately, this one with neyatzmoy, the osham of neyatzmoy, the loik shemi of neyatzmoy, you're yoytzei if you did them separately. Of them, zokti, the immediate next line of Teres Kainim, maybe yochel yonif, yachsev yonif, is zokti a barrel that Goin learned up over there, mamish on this, Fasemis the Shaila was being asked by the Teres Kainim. The Shaila is okay, so fine. So I mean, after the fact situation, and I was main if each of them separately and I was yoitza. But maybe now that I've done that, I should be yachsev yonif and do the two of them together. Because it's true that they did them individually and I got epes vasa tnufa, but opportunity is still there. That's what the Goin meant by lechatchila. The opportunity is still available to me. I didn't shech the osham yet. If I shech the osham, then it's mamashe b'dievet. But over here, I didn't each one tnufa individually and the osham is not yet shechted. So I may have the opportunity to do a together. Maybe now that's, in other words, the shahavim it was that that's still called a lechatchila, even though I did the two individually, I can do them now lechatchila together. That's the Goin man. That kamashal teres kainim, no, tnufa v'loy tnufois. V'balt that you already did the tnufas individually. We were kind of the din tnufa on the osham, we were kind of the din tnufa on the loik shemen. So therefore, there's no din tnufa left at all that's shayach to be getan on the osham and the loik shemen anymore. Tnufa v'loy tnufois, and therefore there won't be any mitzvah tnufa b'chlal left. And that's why we're saying, with a coin to that, Zok there, the Goin's teres kainim is gufa learning out a chiddush, not like the sasemis suggestion. But gufa learning out, we had a havamin taka that you did each tenufa individually, so now the osham is still alive, you didn't shecht yet, so now do the two together, the osham with the loik shemen, lechatchila, the kamash malonain, that once I did a din tenufa on the osham and a din tenufa on the loik, it's geton, there's only one tenufa, the tenufa of a loik tenufa, and therefore it's not shayach anymore to repeat the tenufa in order to do them together. And if so, Zakhter, then the Goin, chat and the teres kainim will be coming against the sasemis. The Gemara says in the bottom of the Omer that our Mishnah, which is Mavur, that you do a tnufa on the Bikurim, our Mishnah is a Belozim and Yankiv. The Belozim Yankiv Shita is that in fact there is a tnufa on Bikurim, not everybody holds this way, but he holds that way, and the Gemara says that he learns that Yad Yad Mishlom, Megzeir Shava, it says, by the Bikurim it says Lashon of Yad, and it says by the Shlom, Yodav to Vienna, etc. So just like by the Shlom, there's a tnufa, and the tnufa, the Pasuk speaks of it as done by the Bailam, so so too over here by the Bikurim is also a Tnufa Yedei the Bailam. And just like over here by the case of the Bikurim, it speaks of the Kayin, so too over there by Shlom is the Kayin. So therefore, we're equating the two, and we're saying that you have to have a Tnufa, has to be done by both the Bailam and the Kayin, and Hoketzer, how do you do it? So the Gemara says, Kayin Meniach Yodoi Tachas Yad Bailam, and if the Kayin puts his hand under the Bailam's hand, and they do the Tnufa together. Now, Kipshuntoi, what that means is that the Bailam puts his hand directly under the Bikurim in this case, and the Kayin will put his hand under the Bailam's hand, and they do the Tnufa together in this manner. Tosis, in fact, brings down that there is Rashi Shita later on in the Masechta. Rashi does hold that way. We have it in Rashi Ksav Yad later on in the Masechta. Rashi says that actually the din will come back to it a little bit. Tosis, however, disagrees with this, and Tosis' tain is that it cannot be so, because he says that if that's the case, and the Yad of the Bailam will be a Chatzitza, an interposition between the Kohen's hand and the Cheftza of the Bikurim, and a Mela, it's a Choytzeitz, it's like the Kohen didn't do a Tnufa, will be no good. So in Mela, it's impossible to learn this this sugi, the Loshna sugi kipshutai, that it means literally that the Kohen's hand is underneath the Bailam's hand. Rather, Zok Toysis, the correct shot is, and Toysis Tain is that actually in the Mishnah, Mesech the Bikurim and Perek Gimel, there's a different Loshin, which that is the one that's Meduyik, that's precise. And but there, what it says is that the Bailam hold onto the Oigne Akeli, and the Kohen holds the Shul of Milmata. In other words, there's no interposition. The Bailam's hand is by the rim of the Keli near the top, and the Kohen's hand is the Shul of Milmata at the bottom of the Keli, and they're both holding it separately, and that's called Tachas Yad Bailam. Says Tosis in the sense that the Kohen's hand is located downward below, the Bailam's hand is located up above. Tosis brings down that Rashi and Tzadik Dalet disagrees with this. We mentioned this before. Rashi is in the sugya of Bali Chavorim, where I have a shutfis, a multitude of people that are bringing a korban together, a korban that needs a tznufa, and the halacha is, the Gemara says over there, that the tznufa is done just by one of the Bailam, it's not done by all of them, because it's impossible for the Gemara to have the tznufa done by all of them together, because there's going to be a chatzitza, an interposition. Whoever's hand is directly touching the korban, the person's hand below it has a chatzitza. It's a hefsek interposed between his hand and the korban. It's no yoytza anyway. So therefore, avada, the tnufa is done by just one bailam. On that Rashi over there says, we have in the Rashi Ksav Yad, that what happens every single time that the kohen puts his hand under the bailam's hand? Why isn't that a chatzitza? So Rashi says that the answer is that over there, it's like Rashi, ikra tnufa bailam. That's not a tiny, because the main tnufa, the ikra tnufa, is Ayyadeh the Bailam, and Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, V'nosan al kapeh ha-nozir, and the implication is, the nozir of the earth is the Bailam, and the implication is, that the al kapeh ha-nozir, he's the mainest, the main person doing the tnufa, the Kohen is not the Ikra one, so it's not a problem when the Kohen's hand is a chatzitza between his hand and the Korban, the Bailam's hand, because anyhow, the main one is the Bailam. So Rashi Shita, like we said, is that the Bailam's hand touches the Korban, and the Kohen is under the Bailam's hand. Taisa disagrees. Like we said before, Taisa brings a sugya in Bikurim that indicates that they're both touching, that the Bailam's hand is above, near the rim portion, and the Kohen's hand is below. And Taisa's tainu is that we're in the world of one get to be more ikur. What does that mean? They both have a din tnufa, the Kohen a din tnufa, the Bailam's a din tnufa. What is Rashi saying over there that only the Bailam is the ikur? The Brisker Rav over here, tainu is in the Shiurim, that actually Rashi does make sense. And there is a specific reason to refer to the Bailam as the ikur, and the Bailam specifically here as the one person whose hand has to directly come into contact with the mincha. The Biskarov makes a couple of points, and it's worth going through it step by step. First of all, the Biskarov tain is that the pashtus tnufa is a kind of an activity which really be'etzem does not lend itself to hilchas chatzitza. Even though by avoid is gevent l'chedu and avoid on a korban is a problem, there's an obstruction between your hand and the korban, tnufa zakter is actually not an example of that. Because without that, we don't find in tnufa that needs a so-called atzmoy shel kohen. We won't go into that at length, but there's something called requiring the atzmoy shel kohen, the kohen itself, his guf has to come into contact with the carbon, and tnufa, Zokta Briskerov, doesn't even have that quality. All you have to have is do an act of waving, that it was waved through you, and you're good. Whether you claim it to direct contact with it or not, there's actually no din of contacting in the first place, and mainly no problem of chatzitza if you're not contacting, because there's a whole aloha that you should be waving it, which is fulfilled. And mainly, Zokta, when this whole discussion of chatzitza over here, which the Gemara speaks of chatzitza, as we mentioned, where you have Bali Chavorim, Shutfesen, that are bringing a carbon, doing a tnufa, Zokta Briskerov, you need to understand it somewhat differently. The idea there Meir Zokter is based upon what we find in Rashi in Chumash. That's what he says. The Rashi in Chumash says, Yodos Vieno, that's the Tnufa of a Korban Shlomim, and Pasik Rashi says over there, Shetehe Yad Bailem Milmailom, Vahachelev Vahachozois Nisunim Bo. The hand of the Bailem is right there, and the Chelev and the Chozois are placed in it, Nisunim Bo, Vyad Koyamamata, and the Koyan's hand is underneath his, a Manifon, etc. That's what Rashi speaks at. Zotat in the Brisker Rav, that from the precise diktuk of the Lashon of Rashi, we see an important thing. That when it comes to the Bailem, it's not just the din that he has to be waving it, but there's another din, oid din, zokter, another din, that the this component of the korban, the chaylev and the chozois, has to be munochin biyad ha-bailem, emplaced in the hands of the bailem. Chaylev ha-chozois nesunim bo. Zokter to the brisker rov, with that you can understand very, very well the pshat and Rashi over there, the Rashi ksav yad and sarik daud. Rashi is bringing out from the pasuk of al kapeh ha-nozir, that the pshat is totally distinct from the question of the bailem, in that case the nozir, or any bailem, waving the korban, tnufa, to being main, if the act of tnufa, there's also a din to emplace those elements of the korban within the yad ha-bailem. That's a din that you find by the bailem, but you don't have that din zotah by the kohen. The kohen only has the din to do the maisa tnufa and nothing else. And mele it's actor zeir meduyik zot the biskirov, like Rashi says, that the bailem's hand has to be direct contact with the mincha. The kohen's hand does not have to be direct contact with the mincha, and Rashi refers to the lashon of the ikar tnufa. What Rashi means is that reference to the bailem is not just the question of doing the maisa tnufa, but also a question of the chaylev and the chozois being placed directly in his hand, the sunim ba. And Rashi brings the pasuk al kapi anozir, directly in his calf, directly in his hand. The kohen doesn't even have the din of the sunim ba. All he has the din is to wave it, and therefore the kohen has no din chatzisa. The zot biskirov, Rashi is actually very meduyik, and zot more than that, he says that all applies by korbanos, but by the halacha of a tnufa on the bikurim of Elazar ben Yankiv, even though we find in our Gemara that Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv is equating the two and is learning one from the other, he's learning bikurim from the din of tnufa on the shlomim. Zokter biskirov, that's in terms of the maisa tnufa, the independent din, the din that I have to wave, the action of waving the korban, of doing the tnufa. We are not equating them in the sense of being nisunim bo munochim biyad habailim. And in that area, we're actually not equating the two of them, Zokter biskirov. And mele, therefore, when it gets to the Mishnah Bikurim, it says that the bailim are oiches in the svas hakeli above. The kohen just holds onto the svas hakeli, and the kohen holds down below. It's Zokter them the briskirov that be'etzem Zokter. If you would try that by a regular carbon, we could name on that you wouldn't even be yoitzer altogether by a regular carbon if you do that, because it's not a sunim biyad habailim. It's not emplaced in the hands of the bailim. He's not holding it at the top and seizing onto it by the rim. That's not called nesunah in place. It's not al kapeh anozir. It's not placed in his hand. He's stam holding it, grabbing it, seized by the rim. So by bikurim zokter, you're able to do it that way. It seems that biskirov, it's not a kapeh the dafka to do it that way, but you could do it that way. The bailam will touch, the kohen will touch. Everybody's touching the keili with the bikurim in it. The bailam touching at the rim, the kohen touching at the bottom. But zokter, specifically by karbonis, will never allow that. We would have to have, according to the Rashi's understanding, that it's al kapeh anozir. The kohen, the bailam is the anozir. Whoever it is, his hand is directly under it, holding the korban, the chaylok of the korban, that's being, you're being mainif, and the kohen's hand is underneath his. The Biskirov, he doesn't speak this out, but just to bring out this point, what the Biskirov is doing is saying a hezber in Rashi, which is mazbir, the shene halosha, and why it is that specifically with bikurim we find to the loshen that you put your hand on the oignei akeli, whereas else we don't find that loshen. He's naming on the Biskirov is understanding that specifically in bikurim I would be able to do it, but elsewhere I couldn't, because have the bailam seize the carbon by the rim up above will be insufficient by everything other than bikurim to fulfill the din habailam, the way he's explaining, because the din habailam, as the Biskirov is medayek from the different Rashis, is to have that the chalke ha-korban that have the tnufa on them are emplaced on the hand of the bailam. This is all in the Das, Rashi, and Tosis. There is a Meiri in Masechta Makos on Daf Yud Ches that speaks about how you do the tenufa on the Bikurim, and the Meiri is actually quite cryptic, but first the Meiri says, Aloshain, that the way that the Koyan and the Bayam together do the tnufa on the Bikurim, according to Rav Yankiv, is that the Koyan maniach yodoy tachas yad Bailam umeinif. Okay, it's pretty simple. The Koyan puts his hand under the hand of the Bailam, and he does a tnufa. At the end of the piece, the Meiri says, That's his language for the Rambam. That the Rambam, the Gedolei Mechabim, says that the Bailam oichsim besvosoi va'koyen meneach yodei tachtov umeinis. That the koyen, the Bailam hold it besvosoi at the rim, at the top, and the koyen puts his hand underneath umeinis. The Sefer Gvuras Yosef of Yitzchak Sorotskin over there in Makas Daf Yudches points out that it seems to be very, very meduyik in the language of the Meiri that there's some sort of machloikas over here between him and the Rambam when they get to how you do the tnufa. It really certainly looks that way. First, the Meiri says a lot, which Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin points out is the Lashon of our Gemara right over here in Menachos and Samach Aleph. It says right here, Koyen Meniach Yodoy Tachas Yad Bailam Umeinif, and that's Mamash Hadam Meiri says he do the Tnufa. Then at the end of the piece, as the Rambam understood differently, the Gemara Chabim say that the Bailam will hold by the Sfasa, they hold seize onto the rim, and the Koyen put his hand underneath Umeinif. So out there, it looks like the Meiri and the Rambam argue. The Meiri has the standard Tnufa being done on the Bikurim as well. Your palms or the Bailam are underneath, and the Koyen's palms are underneath the Bailam's palms, and the Rambam has a system of the Bailam seizing onto the rim and the Koyen down below. But out there, the thing would seem to be somewhat tamua, because as Tosis points out over here, and the Achorinim point that the Biskurov gets into, the Mishnah of Feyash and Mishnah Mishnah to be Kurim. What is it to discuss? Why would the Meiri and the Rambam have a disagreement about this point? The Feyash and Mishnah, Mishnah says black on white that the Koyen, the Bailam hold the Oignoi, he seizes onto the top, and exactly what the Meiri quotes in the Rambam is the Feyash and Mishnah. How could the Meiri say against the Mishnah, even Zokta Sorotskin, it appears he has our Gemara, so you could do like Tosis says and say it's Lavdavka? You don't have the option of saying that you can't just go against the Mishnah. How did the Meiri seem to set up a shita against Din, what he quotes from the Rambam, which is really a Mishnah? Zokta of them, the Gvuris Chitzchok, that you could say an interesant word. Zokta Razoi. The MSC says it's very, very yutochain that this question of exactly how the Tnufa has to be done on the Bikurim, Aliba the Meiri, it could well be, Zokta, that's actually totally in the two days in the Tanoim and our Gemara about how you know that there's a Tnufa on the Bikurim. We have right here in our Gemara the shita Sabazar and Yankov that we spoke of, Tnufa on Bikurim, and we have Rabbi Yehuda a little bit later in the Sugya. Rabbi Yehuda says, V'hinachtoizu Tnufa, he doesn't learn it out of a Gzeir Shava, as Rabbi Yankov does, equating the Tnufa on the Shlomim to the Tnufa on the Bikurim, but rather the Rabbi Yehuda holds a special Pasuk, V'hinachtoi, for a Pasuk of V'hinachtoi, learn out a din of Tnufa on the Bikurim. Zoktav then the Gvuris Yitzchok, according to Rabbi Yankov, if you really could name on, that it's impossible to differentiate, and whatever dinim, whatever kudus, protidinim, whatever there are that I have, by the tnufa of a shlomim, I have to automatically transpose them and apply them all to the tnufa on the bikurim, because it's mamash gzeir shava, and you can't have it lemechsa, and you have to mamash equate. Masha inkin, according to Yehuda, that's not learned out of a comparison to shlomim at all. It's an independent, separate din of a hinachto zu tnufa, so it could have its own rules, and there's no need to assume that it has the same rules as the tnufa. As a tnufa that's done on the shlomim. The Meila Zokter, the Meiri could be very, very meduyik. Why? Because Ela Gemara, they use a lashon of Koyen, Meniach, Yodi, Tachas, Yad Bailam, Meinif. Who does the Gemara say that in? The Gemara, the head directly is going in of Elazar and Yankov Shita. And he is basically transposing whatever dinim he found by shlomim, which, as we said from the Briskerov's Rashi, the special dinim that the Bailam's hand has to be underneath and the Koyen's underneath his. And the Meiri understood that if you're Elazar and Yankov and you're learning out from there to be Kurim, you have to learn every out to be kurim, and that's why Ataka says it wasn't the Yankov Shita. The coin is meyach yodoy tachas yad bailam main. If his hand is under the bailam, so the bailam's hand is under the bikurim. Ma'ashein came the mishnah misach to bikurim that says the bailam puts his hand the rim. It's mavur in that mishnah. If you read the mishnah carefully, that's going into Behuda. That mishnah happened to Rabbi Yehuda. That part of the mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says it's tnufa, and it speaks over there of the tnufa, and it says that the bailam places his hand at the rim at the top, and the coin puts his hand down below. So that's Taka very good in Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't hold that we're going to extrapolate from the tnufa to the tnufa of the bikurim. The tnufa of the bikurim will have its own dinim. There's no din for the bailam hand that has to dafka be underneath. And Meila Meiri understood that even though it's taka mevur in the mishnah, that's in Yehuda's mishnah, so to speak, that the koyim put the bailam put his hand up on the rim and the koyim put his hand below. The Meiri understood that lahalacha we pass on the Bezman Yankov, which we do. Our Gemara's mevur, Bezman Yankov is really the ikker, as it says in the Gemara, hoil for Rav Guvrei, like it says here. So therefore, consequently, we're actually going to pass in against the mishnah in the protum of how the bikurim is done, and that's the shita of the Meiri. That's in the Meiri. Understood that you do the tenufa differently. It says in the Mishnah, you do it like our Gemara's tenufa, the Bailam's hand underneath the Bikurim and the Kohen's hand underneath the Bailam. near the end of the Omud, the Gemara brings down that a korban that's brought by Ovek HaChavim or a korban that's brought by an Isha, there is no din for the HaChavim or the Isha to be main. If the Goy or the Isha doesn't do the Tenufa, the Gemara says a Lashon over there, Sha'atnufa b'koyhanim. However, there is a Tenufa. It's not done either the Goy or either the Isha, but there is a Tenufa, Sha'atnufa b'koyhanim, a Tenufa either the Koyhanim. Rashi over there says a very surprising thing, which the Achronim jump on. Rashi says, Sha'atnufa b'koyhanim, v'yechoyel m'chavim v'noshim, la'asoyz koyhen shliach. So Rashi says that the Goy and the Isha are going to make the Koyhen into a shliach. So in other words, Rashi is mavur that although the Isha or the Goy doesn't themselves personally do the tenufa, their din tenufa is fulfilled. It's actually fulfilled because they make the Koyhen into a shliach. Now, many point out that Rashi is a chiddush over here, and Tosfos is actually not mashma like Rashi. Tosfos is mashma, a much simpler idea, which is what? Which is that Gveintluch, as I mentioned earlier, a tenufa, generally speaking, is that the Koyhen, together with the Bailam, does a tenufa to Zaman, the Koyhen and the Bailam together. What happens in the case of the carbon of a Goy or an Isha, where the Chaluk of the Goy, the tenufas Goy, the tenufas Isha is not taking place? Does that mean there's no tenufa at all? No, it doesn't mean that. So the Goy and the Isha won't do their tenufa, but the Koyhen has his din tenufa, which has not vanished, and may the Koyhen's din tenufa will be fulfilled, and that's the Gemara saying, Shatnufa Bakayanim, and that's how Tosfos is actually Meduyik, not like Rashi. Rashi, however, understood a much bigger Chiddush that actually the Isha's din or the Goy's din tenufa itself is fulfilled, it itself is fulfilled, just not personally with them doing it, but rather that you have them, that they'll make the Koyhen into a Shliach. And the Argivis Akasha is that the Chroidim ask over here in Rashi, how it could possibly be that they'll make the Koyhen into a Shliach. These questions are mentioned by some of the Achroinim over here. The Yerucho Feinstein over here brings down the Kasha. So a couple of Achroinim get into it as well. One question is that we know the Gemara Masechta B'Metzia tells us in Daf Ayin Aleph that ain't Shliuchos L'Goy. It's a big klal that a Goy can't make a Shliach. And over here, the Goy is bringing a Mincha, and apparently he's making the Koyhen to Shliach according to Rashi, which is a steer to the rule of ain't Shliuchos L'Goy. Second of all, we have another steer as well, because one of the big klalim in Shas is that regarding Masechta Nazir, Yud Beis, and elsewhere, that called the Iul Le'Motzi Ovid Shliach Le'Motzi Mashvi. If you cannot make a particular din, you can't fulfill it yourself, you don't have the ability to make a shliach either. You can't do it yourself, you don't have the ability to make a shliach. Over here, we're saying befeirus that the Isha or the Goy are not able to do the tenufa. If they can't do it, how is Rashi saying that they're able to make a shliach? So these are big kashas of what it says over here in the Rashi, that there's a din shlichus and the Kohen does it. On this, the Ramechal Feinstein points out, which would really seem to be the Pashas Hazvorim, he says that it seems that Rashi never meant to say that there's a regular din of shlichus and kamoisi over here. This is not the Gveintlich din of shlichus that we learned of Psukim in the beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin, that shlichus kamoisi. That's not the intent here. Rather, we know that the Gemara speaks in different mekoimois about Kohenim, and we say that the Kohenim, when they do the avoida on a korban, they are shluchim. The Gemara has different deis, the shluchim de Rachmon, the shluchim de Dan, they're our shliach, they're the shliach of the Ebishter. So Ramechal Feinstein goes into a bit of a beer over there, and he actually argues that Avada Zokter, although the Gemara has different stodom on exactly whose agents the Kohen are, it's very, very clear that's not the Nir Shluch HaMoisoi. It's really clear. I mean, a Kohen is going to do Avoida as your Shliach. It doesn't mean you could have done the Avoida. You're a Yisrael. You can't. The Kohen is the one who's identified by the Torah. He has the Nir to do it, but he does it for you. And there's different stodom about understanding exactly the nature of that Shlichus that the Gemara speaks of. HaKoponim Zokter, Avada is not the Nir Shluch HaMoisoi. I'm actually never meant to say over here that there's a Nir Shluch HaMoisoi. You just appoint the Kohen as your agent. That's not the idea. Rather, the Kohen has a din tenufa here, and we know that we mentioned before, Tosfos speaks of, the Gemara speaks of, there's a din tenufa as a Kohen, and that Rashi is saying that Vibata, the Kohen, has a din tenufa here, and we know that the Kohen has the ability to do avoiders, and the avoiders are considered to be done for the Bailam, so that Rashi is saying the same over here, that the din of the tenufas of the Bailam, of the Isha, of the Goy, is not launched, it's not ruined, because Gevein the Kohen is able to do pu'ulois that are able to be credited toward the Bailam, and that's going to apply over here to the tenufas a Kohen by the carbon of the Isha or of the Goy.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Mara Mekleimus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.